Really, thanks the wonderful guidance of the Lord. We can be here for a week already, from the first day to the seventh day. During this week, brother and sister, I believe I enjoy the Lord very much in our prayer, in the garden of prayer. We have people who is going to go home soon. Really thank God that they can enjoy the words of the Lord and study the Bible with us over here. And I believe they are all ready to return back to their hometown to fight for the Lord. But thank God we still have several more days over here. We can strive together to reach into the depth of prayer. In every field, people have a role model. For example, if you are a basketball player, Michael Jordan could be a role model. If you play music, Mario Yo could be a role model. As a NYTSERS, who could be our role model? I think the Nazarite could be our role model. So today, this morning, we shall learn from what is a Nazarite. Please turn to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, verse 1. Numbers chapter 6, verse 1. Numbers 6, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel," verse 2, "and say to them, when either a man or woman consecrates an offering to take a vow of a Nazarite to separate himself to the Lord." So verse 2 tells us that people, either woman or man, can take a vow to be a Nazarite, meaning that they separate a period of time or their whole life to serve the Lord. They make a vow, they determine to be a man, to serve the Lord. Then what shall they do? Verse 3. They shall separate himself from wine or similar drink. He shall drink neither vinegar made from wine, nor vinegar made from similar drink. Neither shall he drink any grape juice, nor eat fresh grapes or raisin. Verse 4, all the days of his separation, he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grape wine, from seed to skin. Verse 5, all the days of the vow of his separation, no razor shall come upon his head until the days are fulfilled for which he separates himself to the Lord. He shall be holy, then he shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. Verse 6. All the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body. 7. He shall not make himself unclean, even for his father or his mother, for his brother or sister, when they die, because his separation to the Lord is on his head. Amen. So here, to be a Nazirite, three things need to be done. First of all, he shall not eat any products from grape wines, even from the seed to the skins. So there is no wine or anything made of grape. And secondly, he shall keep long hair and never use a razor to cut the hair. And thirdly, he shall never touch a dead body, no matter if it's his father or mother or brother or sister die. He shall never do it. Now, there are spiritual significance concerning this. What does it mean by not to touch dead body? It means that we shall, as a Nazarite, we shall not touch filthy things, dirty things. We shall not defile our holiness. So in order to be a NYTSer, to serve the Lord, we shall be holy. Not touching the dead body means holy. The Bible says that God is holy. Everyone who is not holy cannot see God. If we want to serve the Lord, and if we are not holy person, Satan will come to accuse us. So when you read Zechariah chapter 2, you see the high priest serving the Lord in the temple. When he served the Lord in the temple, Satan stand at his right-hand side, accuse him when he was serving. So you hear some people share testimony, when you serve the Lord without holiness, Satan try to bother us and accuse us. Maybe I share with you, a brother trying to interpret for the Lord, Satan beside him make noise on his ear, on his ears. Therefore, he cannot do a good job. The only sound he hear, not only from the speakers, but also from the Satan, on, this kind of like hummingbirds, that kind of sound. Maybe you also share with you, a person did not even allow to take garbage out from the chapel because he was not holy. He was a church member. He wanted to help the church to take the garbage out on a weekday night, because following day the garbage car is going to come over, and he forgot to bring the car church key with him. What did he do? He tried to climb the fence. He think that it should be very easy, right? Just climb the fence and take the garbage out, as easy as that. But when he tried to climb up to the fence, he figured out there's a hand, a power, strike him on his face, and he fall down on the ground. He feel like he was passed out for 1 or 2 seconds. He feel like his face is like a piece of pancake at that time. Really very painful. Like, you know, the nose is gone or something like that. He cried for help, but nobody listened to him because his voice is so weak. It's dark at night, snowing day. Nobody's there. He can only stay in there and repent and repent. Lord, I'm sorry. No, I understand that. Even taking out garbage for you, I need to be a holy person. Repent, and God give him strength. He was able to get up. And then, what did he do? He tried a second time. He climbed the fence again and take the garbage out. It is true. It is true. When we read the Bibles, for those who want to serve the Lord or those who can be used by the Lord, they got to say no to the filthy things. God prepared Joseph to save his family member. He got to be utilized by the Lord. He got to say no to the woman seducing. No, I don't want to stay with you. No, I don't want to sleep with you. No, I don't want to talk to you. It is not easy. He was about 17 years old. He was young, energetic, some hormone, physical reason. He has needs and desires. But because he feared God, he says that, how can I do such an evil thing to sin against God? Therefore, he said no. Imagine if he did not say no. He yield into that kind of temptation. He will be simply like his eldest brother, Reuben. Will be forsaken in the kingdom of, with the blessing of his father. He won't be able to fulfill the mission. The Lord got to choose another one to replace him. to fulfill that kind of jobs. But if today we really cannot able to say no to the unholy stuff, the Lord simply cannot use us. Another example, Daniel, right? Determined himself not to defile himself with the king's food. The Bible says that he got to talk to the chief eunuchs. Talk to him, please, I don't want to eat the food. The chief eunuch said, no, because this is king's command. Nobody can disobey king's command. Did he give up at that time? He did not give up. He go to the steward of the chief eunuchs. Said, would you please let me try for 10 days? Imagine that if the steward say, no, I don't allow you to do it. What do you think Daniel will say? I think probably he'll say, how about 5 days? If he say no, how about 3 days? If it's a no, 2 days, 1 day, how about a meal? He always will strive to make it come true that, give me a try. I want to be holy. I simply do not want to eat the food defiled by the idol. Because of that kind of determination, touching God, not giving up, touching God. Therefore, later on, he become a wonderful prophet that please God's mind. A prophet trying to serve the Lord, like Elijah, they always have a rope, right? That rope signifies that they are the men of God. Before a prophet can perform mighty deeds for the Lord, that garment, that rope, really got to be clean. For Elijah to pray in the mountain, in the mountain of Carmel, to fight with the false prophets, the fire can come down from heaven kingdom. It is because he has gone through the test from the Lord. One of the tests, as a matter of fact, is holiness. The Lord sent him to stay with a widow. The widow have a young kids. The widow could be in her 30s or her 40s. And he stayed with the widow for about 3 years or less. But in these 3 years or less, there is nothing in his heart. He still can keep his garment pure. When the widow's son died, the widow says that, Elijah, why do you come to me? Because you come to me, the Lord remember me of my own iniquities. So this lady could have some evil thoughts in her mind, but it is not in the mind of this prophet. Therefore, later on, he was able to fulfill the important missions entrusted by the Lord. And this garment has passed down to Prophet Elisha. When Prophet Elisha wear on it, the woman of Shunammite, look at him, and the woman can say that this is the holy man of God. Because that she can tell this is the holy man of God, therefore she told her husband, why don't we make a second floor, make up a floor for this prophet to stay with us. If you read the Bible, it's a very interesting recording. When the prophet summoned her to him, the Bible says that the woman stand in front of the prophet. And the prophet wanted to talk to the woman, yet he did not talk to the woman directly. She stand in front of her, but he did not talk to her directly. He talked to a servant, asked the servant to talk to her. This is very interesting recording. Please read it that. When the woman stand at the doorway, the prophet speak to her directly. But standing in front of her, the prophet did not speak to her directly. When the woman was very sorrowful, she came to the prophet. She was too sorrowful, she got to hold on the leg of the prophet. And at that time, the servant tried to push her away. Don't do this. Our prophet is a holy man of God. How can you do this? By that time, knowing that this is a beautiful woman, the prophet says that it be. But from the instance, we can see that even the servant knew that this is a holy man of God. No wonder Elisha was able to accomplish a wonderful work, entrusted work by the Lord. So, brother and sister, you want to be a true Nazirite, we got to be holy. In these past 6 days, almost in every prayers, we we remind one another, encourage one another, we should cut the unnecessary relationship that may defile our spirit, defile our body. This is the very right moment to take that action. If you do not determine to cut it right now, it is going to be very difficult in the future. Right now, over here, you have the supporting power from brother and sister. You have the strength from our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's easy for us to determine at this point of time. When you go home, in the future, you should separate yourself from unholy items, unholy people. This is my moment to make that kind of call, to tell Jesus Christ. And if we share that kind of commitments, only if we do that, we can again have the joy and peace of the Holy Spirit dwell in us and come inside us. Secondly, the Nazarite, they shall not use razor to cut their hairs. What does the hair long? So they are going to long hair, right? What does long hair mean in the Bible? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? So long hair is a dishonor, is a shame to a man. Now for a man, Nazarite, to bear long hair, it is to bear a mark of shame for the Lord. Meaning that we should not be afraid to be a Nazarite, that people ridicule us for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says that, if anyone do not acknowledge me in front of man, I won't acknowledge him in the future, in the presence of God. Paul says that, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is the mighty power of God. So, to be a Nazarite, we got to determine to bear shamefulness for the Lord, to bear suffering, to endure shame for the Lord. In order to preach, Jesus Christ bear a lot of shame for Heavenly Father. When he performed miracles, when he cast out demons, people ridicule him, you rely on the power of Satan to drive off Satan. What is that? What kind of word is that? It's a ridicule word. You know, it's trying to put you down and step you under the feet. People spit on Jesus Christ. People hit on Jesus Christ's face. And Jesus Christ got to die on the cross as a criminal. This all seems very shameful in the eyes of human beings. But for us to serve the Lord, if we dare not to acknowledge this, I think we may not be qualified to serve the Lord. Therefore, the disciples, when they got locked up, when they got beaten, they came out in the state of joy, and the sentence they say is that they are joyful because they feel that they are worthy to be beaten for the kingdom of God. So do we feel worthy that if people ridicule us, if people feel like we are crazy person, are we able to bear that kind of shameful? A lot of young kids was not able to do it. If you check your RE students and ask them, do you really pray, offer a prayer in school before you partake meal? Once upon a time, we check this with our kids in our local church. And they say, yes, we do that. And we ask them, how do you do this? They say, oh, very easy, you know. I just pretend I'm untying my shoelace and tie my shoelace. And I pray at that moment of time. Right? Oh, it's very easy. I'm just pretending I'm very tired. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. I'm very tired, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. use all kinds of way to not let people know that they are praying. In the local churches, we try to mobilize young men to pass out flyers in the street. And the young men will say that, it's no use. You know, no people will come to the church by receiving that little flyers. But you know what? If you have the guts to standing in the subway, in the bar, I mean, BRT, not bar, in New York, San Francisco, we have bar, train station, right? If you are able to stand over there, and pass out flyers, what does it mean? It means that you really dare to wear that long hairs of the Nazarite. You are not afraid that people laugh at you. To pass out flyer is not only to preach gospel, it's to stand for what you truly believe in. So, do you have the guts to do it? When we go home, we need this kind of spirit. Even people persecute us, but we insist that we shall reach the gospel for the Lord and preach for the Lord. Thirdly, to be a Nazarite, we shall not eat anything from the products of grapes, wine. This kind of products, wine, is very pleasant to human's body. To serve the Lord, we shall determine not to enjoy the desire of our flesh, something only to please our flesh, our human body. Those who only seek for the worldly pleasure, physical pleasure, it is very difficult to follow Jesus Christ. You remember once upon a time, Jesus Christ ran into a rich young man. This rich young man was a very wonderful guy. He ran to Jesus Christ and he kneeled in front of Jesus Christ. Many people come to Jesus for help, but he came to Jesus to kneel down to him and to ask questions. And the question he asked is right to the point. He said, good master, how can I do to receive eternity? And the Lord says that there is only one good master, that is heavenly kingdom. So this young man knows that that is heavenly father. So this young man knows that this is not ordinary people. This person is from the Lord. And then Jesus answered that, if you want to enter heavenly kingdom, you shall abide the commandments. You shall honor your parents. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false testimony. You shall not covet. All this have to do with Ten Commandments. He was a Jew by default. He already worshipped one true God. He already kept Sabbath. So Jesus Christ was talking about, you shall keep Ten Commandments. This young man says that, I have done that since I was young. I always honor my parents. I never steal. I never commit adultery. There was not an evil thought in my heart. And Jesus looked at him. And Jesus loved him, the Bible says. Jesus loved him. Because Jesus loved him, Jesus said, okay, since you are so good, why don't you join our TTP training? Jesus was trying to say that, since you are so good, why don't you forsake everything and follow me? And guess what? This young man says, I cannot do it because he has too many possessions. His heart, even though he desired to follow Jesus Christ, like a lot of us over here, even though we like to be a true NYTSer, but at the same time, we like to enjoy ourselves, to play a lot of video games, to read a lot of unnecessary magazines, to sell a lot of unnecessary websites. We love Jesus at the same time, we cannot keep up the worldly pleasures. If we have that kind of mentality, I'm sorry, we truly miss the quality to serve the Lord. We should learn from the other rich man, Zacchaeus. He said to the Lord, after he learned the importance of salvation, I would rather give half of my possession to the poor. He determined not to enjoy the worldly pleasure. Give up the worldly pleasure. Only those who are able to live a simple life, they have power to serve the Lord. John the Baptist, what does the Bible say? What did he wear? Very simple clothing, right? What did he eat? locusts and wild honey. Very simple. Because he have a simple life, therefore he was an attractive person. Attractive, therefore people live in the city. Those sinners, tax collectors, those violent persons, the soldiers, those hypocrites, the scribes come to him, ask him, what shall I do? How shall I do to have salvation? Such an attractive person. Why? Because he lived a simple life. If you live in a palace, if you eat hamburgers, or hamburgers is not luxury food. What is the better example? If you eat lobsters all the time, drink wine all the time, I mean, if his heart really desire for material indulgence, I think he simply can have that kind of spirit, true spirit to serve the Lord. So brother and sister, Jesus says that, said to the person, you want to work out? Very simple. Do not have to bring too much money, just bring two set of clothing. Two set of clothing when you serve the Lord. What does it mean? Simple life. Simple life. I know you have a future to pursue. You have a career to pursue. Maybe in the future, the Lord will bless you with an abundance of money. It is nothing wrong to make a lot of money. Okay? I mean, but we have so many wonderful brothers and sisters who are among us, who are rich men to live in among us. But you look at their life. We have one elders. Really, he's a CEO in many, many companies. But some elders, right, some other workers share with us. When you live with him, right, you can see that he wears so simple. Even his, when he took off his shirt, right, he has undergarments. You can see the undergarments have already torn holes, but he still keep wearing it, even though he could be a CEO, right? He didn't care about, it's a very simple life. All his money, all his fortunes, when there's a need of God, like the one who keep the donkey, right? The Lord says that, I have the need of the donkey. Then the donkey was given to the Lord. If there's any need from the Lord, he will always give to the Lord. Even though he's rich, but his life is for the Lord. So rich is nothing guilty. But the most important is, where is our heart? Even though we have abundant material, but do our heart indulge into or only want to enjoy the material? Because you cannot love both money and God. Impossible. If you love God, you cannot love money. If you love money, you cannot love God. Therefore, we should determine to live a simple life, refrain ourselves from the material indulgence. This is true Nazarite. Do we have that kind of guts? We want to challenge you, everyone, including us. We all try to be a true Nazarite. The Bible says that, let's read the verse, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Scott, would you please read? How can we truly not to indulge ourselves in worldly pleasure? Because worldly pleasure is fun, joyful. How can we truly give up? The Bible here, over here, give us a hint. If we want, we don't want to get drunk from the wine, we shall pursue for another joy that is before of the Holy Spirit. If people come to the Lord, they cannot find joy. Right? Very likely, they will go home and drink wine. People like to have joy. People like to feel happy. If you can find satisfaction in your prayer, very naturally, you will go home and surf your internet to enjoy yourself with wrong stuff. So how can we really prevent us from those wine products? Those are great products. The only solution is that you feel by the Holy Spirit. That's only power that we can replace that kind of stuff. Oh. I really thank God that in these weeks, many of you come to us and you share tears, share concerning your joy in your prayer. And some of you come to us, share concerning your frustration in your prayer. You are seeking for Holy Spirit. You want to serve the Lord, but you lost your Holy Spirit. And that kind of tears only really touch us. Only share us one thing you really want to pursue, or you already got there. And some of you, sometimes you have good prayer, and sometimes you do not have such a good prayer. But our goal is that everybody can truly enjoy God in every prayer. What is some hints that we truly can pray in depth, can enjoy God? I guess you have heard a lot already, but let me repeat them. We shall pray with pure heart. You know, when you first come here, right, our heart has been entangled with so many worldly stuff, right? Like a cup have a lot of filthy things inside. But the Holy Spirit, like every drip of water, every prayer like a drip of water, right? When the water came in, the dirty stuff started to flow out one by one. Maybe a lot of you do not have any dirty thing in the cup anymore. But some of you still a little bit dirty stuff inside. But the water keep dripping in, the dirty stuff will flow out eventually. So again, that's count our errors, mistakes in the presence of God one by one and repent if you think that you still have guilty feeling, right? Purity. Only the person with a pure heart can see God. Secondly, we pray with concentrate. 45 minutes prayer is a long time. It's so easy that we got distracted. So we always have to remind us. How do we can be more concentrated? First of all, I think you can think of the sermons that really touch you in these 7 days or 6 days. Some verses that really touch your heart. Some testimony that really move your soul, right? You think about this. You have taste, right? You can think about the contents of the test, I think, right? What not the test itself, but the words that you already remember, that it ring in your mind. Meditate about that verse. Think about Jesus Christ. If you do not know what to think, right? Imagine how Jesus Christ died for you. Think all of this. And brother and sister, you should not, you know, when you meditate in your prayer, right? It's very interesting. I think most of you experienced that. When you meditate and you ask God, sometimes God gives you an answer into your brain. You do not want to pray for one thing, but the Lord, Holy Spirit, guides you to pray for that stuff you did not think of. This communication is not one-way street in your prayer. You enjoy talking to your friends, that you are able to talk for a long time, and the time simply passed like that. How come the bell ring already? Because you enjoy the conversations. So sweet that you are able to talk to the Lord. That is really some hints that can help us to concentrate. If you are praying for Holy Spirit, or fullness of Holy Spirit, and you still cannot feel it, I think there's another thing we can learn from Hannah. At very beginning, Hannah tried to pray for a son all by himself, self-centered. Lord, I need a son so that, you know, I don't need to wear this long hair. I don't need to bear these shames for you, right? I want to have a son. But later on, he changed his mind from self-centered to God-centered. Lord, I still want to have a son, but not only for my own self, shamefulness. It's for your kingdom. What's the purpose for you to receive Holy Spirit? In the past, probably, yes, because I want inspiration, I want wisdom, I want all kinds of blessings. But now, the person for me to want it is because I want to be a true NYTSer, to be a true person that want to serve you. Change your mentality. Maybe the Lord is waiting for your commitment. I don't know. Maybe. And when I say commitment, doesn't mean you have to be a full-time minister. Everybody should be a living sacrifice. Is that right? Everybody should be a living sacrifice. No matter who we are, what kind of job do we do, right? So maybe the Lord is waiting for that commitment. I don't know. Maybe. So change mentality. We pray with joyful attitude. Because Holy Spirit is promised. Pray with thanksgiving attitude. I beg the mercy of the Lord. I believe when the time comes, when the clouds is sufficient, the rain will pour. When the clouds is full, the rain will pour. With that kind of confidence, with that kind of faith, we believe that the Lord exists. We believe that the Lord will reward us, those who sincerely request from the Lord. That kind of faith, we all come to the presence of God and beg His mercy. Let's come to the presence of God.